Good morning, church family. It's great to see you here today. Wonderful to hear your voices singing out, and I know we've got a great morning of worship ahead of us as we get a chance to be united as one as we sing praises to God today. We'll go through a few quick announcements as we get started today. Sorry for our delay in getting started, technical difficulties, but as of right now, we're doing okay. I probably shouldn't say anything. I'll probably jinx it, so... This is something that we want you guys to do. In the bulletin, there is a QR code as you open it up on the left that says if you have been our guest, if you've visited with us, that this helps us to be connected to you so that we can know what's going on. It takes you to a form that's on our webpage. David will talk a little bit about this as well, but I just want to throw this out there right now. If you have not filled one of those out, and that means it could go all the way back to pre-COVID. If you had not filled out one of the cards that we had in the pews or filled out what we've had out there for you to scan over the last several months, this is a great opportunity for you to do that so that we can know who you are, we can get a little more connected to you, and we can get some information about how to stay in contact and if there's things that we can do to help you out. So I know David will say a little bit more about it, but there are flyers all throughout the church that will say if you're new or a guest to us or just visiting for the day, please scan that QR code and take a few moments if you could to fill that out. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you are a guest with us today, thank you for joining us and being part of our family this morning. Don't forget, you can always go online to grahamstreetchurch.com and get lots more information, even than just what's in our printed bulletins, as well as links to other resources that we have. You can also go, I'm going to go to the next one there. You can also go to grahamstreetyouth.org to get info on different happenings going on with our youth group. This is one thing that you'll see that's in the bulletin that we want you guys to know. There's going to be a basket in the foyer beginning this week that's for a gift card shower honoring Tyler and Amber Neighbors. Back during all the insanity and chaos of COVID, they got married, and we never really got a chance to celebrate that. So if you would like to bless them with a gift card, there will be a basket that is in the foyer that you can drop those off there. Congratulations to them, even though we're a little late getting into the point of getting to say that at the exact moment. All right, we'll skip this one here. All right, don't forget, Children's Church this morning will be for ages 3, 4, and 5. We'll dismiss for that during or right after the children's offering before we have our sermon today. And as always, the nursery is also available for those that are under 3 years old. I do want to make one mention of a one youth group activity that's going on. Tomorrow night we'll be having our next girls' night. So Nicole's going to be out at Home 9 at the foster home at the Moras. So all of our girls that are ages 6th grade through 12th grade, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, they'll have a meal and they'll have some fun activities going on. So they'd love for you to be there for the girls' night, 6 o'clock tomorrow out at the foster home, Home 9. All right. Last week I mentioned this again, and we'll just do a quick review so you guys know what's going on. We've had a chance for a very long time as a Graham Street family to be involved with providing these Shona Bibles in Zimbabwe. What we're trying to do is raise a total of $20,000 that we can be giving towards that. So far, Graham Street's given $13,000. I don't know if that's been updated just since last week even. But if that's something that you're specifically wanting to give towards, make sure in the memo on your check that you put Shona Bible so that we can get that money designated for that. This morning, as we get started, we have a great chance this morning to just be ourselves before the Lord. And we get to come together as a family. We're united. And we're joined together because he's called us together. So this morning, as we start out, we're going to be in Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow is found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Father, we know that you are our God, the one true living God. Father, we know that we belong to you, that we are yours, we are your creation. And Father, you have called us together to be united, to encourage and uplift each other in your presence. Father, hear us today as we sing out to you. Father, may we make a glorious and joyful noise in your ears. Thank you for each person here this morning, for the life of service they represent in your kingdom. And Father, help us to live fully and completely for you. Father, we glorify you now. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's stand together and sing. Our theme this morning is about worship, and I hope that as we sing together, we will speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we'll teach each other in our singing. Some of these songs may be fairly new to you. The one right after this first one, I had never sung before the other day, and I've never led it, and so you're going to have to help me with it, but I think it's fairly new for you as well. I say that because we're teaching each other. But more than that, I want you to take the focus off of everything else that's going on in the world, and I want you to put the focus on God, because that's who we're here to worship. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure is for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. just as you are before your God. Come. Let's pray together. Father, we are here to join our hearts in song, to praise your name, and to declare that we are your people. Help us to know you more closely. Help us to show you living in us. Each one of us can love another. We can love one another and bear each other's burdens. And I pray that we will do that. That as a church, we will reach out to our community. That as a church, we will reach out to one another and lift your name on high. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. After this hymn, we'll join together for communion, supper with the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and
Please pray with me. God, as we pause here this morning and take communion together, we just thank you, Lord, for just the gift that it was for Jesus to make the sacrifice he did, not only because of what it cost, but because of the salvation that we received through it. And God, we can't ever repay that. We can't ever break even. We're just so thankful. And God, I pray that at the very least we can offer our lives in return and live the way that you've called us to. As we take this bread, we think about that sacrifice and think about what Jesus went through, and we praise him and thank him for that in this moment. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. God, as we take this cup, I pray that not only are we thinking about Jesus' sacrifice and the blood that was shed, but that we remember why he did that, why it was necessary, and pray that it allows us to live every single day with hope that one day we will be able to be with you in eternity. But also I pray, God, that it allows us to live with the mindset of how we, as your people, can love others with that same heart, sacrificially, wholeheartedly, unconditionally. So, God, I pray that as we take this cup, Lord, that we can just remember that Jesus didn't do it just for us, that it wasn't just something that ended with him, but that we live that sacrifice and that type of life with every action and with every day. Thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's time for us to dismiss some of our little ones to children's church, but they usually come down front and give gifts. Are they doing that today? Do we have after the song? All right. So not during the song, after the song. All right. I'll start it, and then I'll sit back down. Jesus loves me this time.
God. All right, I pulled a fast one on Daryl because I knew he had picked a song for the children's church time, but I don't think that's a kid's song. I think that's a big kid's song, and we all need to hear it sometimes and keep singing it. And it's an important song in what we get to do. So it's children's church time, so those that are ages 3, 4, and 5 will have a song play here in just a second. You can come down and make your children's offering here. There's also a bucket upstairs if there are any kiddos that are upstairs. And then once you get done doing that, you will be dismissed to head to the loft. And this is a song that has to do with some stuff that you guys have been learning about recently.
The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy children of the Lord. So rise and shine, then give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, then give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine. Cedar, barky, barky, children of the Lord. So rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. The animals, they came in by twosies, twosies. They came in by twosies, twosies. I love them, and kangarooses, twosies, children of the Lord. So rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. Children of the Lord.
I don't know, Daryl. I would like to see you lead that song. You could do it. All right. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. It seems like it's been this nonstop movement this morning. And frankly, I need a chance for just to take my breath and pray. So would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for getting a chance to see the children this morning. Thank you for our Bible classes. Thank you for the time to sing, to pray, to hear Scripture read. And Father, we're excited about what you're going to do in the next few moments. We ask, Father, that as we hear your word, that we'll submit ourselves to your will. We ask this morning as we welcome new into our presence, that we'll give you the glory. We ask this morning as we leave to serve, that we'll do it to glorify your name in our community. And we ask, Father, that what we do is pleasing and that it excites you, that your children want to serve you and give you the glory. And we ask, Father, that you will do what you can in our lives with our willingness to submit, to make your mission our life's work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. You are a great group of people. I am so excited to be in front of you this morning. Continue this series of lessons that we've been working on. And I know it's a long series. It's been a long time since I've done a series of lessons this long. I remember back in my early years of preaching, I would preach for a year and a half on the book of John. I'd preach a year and a half or 2 years on David or Abraham or whatever, you know. And some people finally convinced me, you know, people can't stay with a series that long. You know, they forget what you're doing, you know. And I think, well, how can they forget what I'm doing when I do the same thing every week, you know? How can they forget? And this has been a long series. When we started back after taking some time away during COVID, I decided that we needed to focus in on going back, but not going back to normal like the expression was, but we need to go back better than normal. And as that began to develop in my mind, and I believe the Holy Spirit led me to remember the going back of the Jewish people back to Jerusalem in Ezra and Nehemiah, I thought, boy, there's some wonderful principles in Ezra and Nehemiah that apply to our going back better than normal. And I hope you're seeing some practical ways that we're going to try to do that. And it goes way beyond our trying to, you know, remodel this room and fix the ceiling and repaint and improve some of our equipment, our technology, and so forth. It goes way beyond that. It's a difference that goes beyond what kind of seating we have in this auditorium. It goes beyond how we're going to improve our Bible classes and our different ministries and how we're going to do a better job serving in our community. It's also a renewal of our hearts, a renewal of our commitment. And I hope that is the important thing that we take away from this. The other will come as we do that. As we renew our hearts and our renewal of our commitment, we'll find the best ways we can as we're led by God to do the things that will cause us to be able to serve and to worship better. But we must each individually and collectively make that commitment. So I hope that's what this series of lessons will help you with. We're talking about Principle 6, which deals with our worship. And as soon as they were able to complete their mission of rebuilding the temple, of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, of getting the infrastructure into place to become a great city again in Jerusalem, they had this great worship assembly, giving God the glory for what they had accomplished. And so we said there are these three things that they did in their worship. There was joyful celebration, there was reverent submission, and there was loving edification. And we're on that third part right now in loving edification. I shared with you last week this chart from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I gave you credit, Daryl, for teaching from this section of Scripture last week. But this idea of what the early church did pointed to the idea that they had a three-part, if you will, mission. One, of course, was to exalt Christ, to help people to know who He was, how God had appointed Him to be with all authority and to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that His church had been established and He was the head of it. And then secondly, to edify the church, that as the church grew and developed and became what God wanted the church to be with its mission in the world, it had a strong part to play in each individual person building up each other to be strong and be able to overcome temptation and be victorious in the world over Satan. And then thirdly, to evangelize the community. They took on a role that God had called them to make an impact in their community. And all over the world, churches sprang up, spreading the good news of the gospel, bringing people to Christ. Well, we see this in the church over and over again, but we also see it in the worship assembly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is dealing with some problems in the worship assembly there at Corinth. He says, here are three things that you need to focus in on. You need to exalt Christ. You need to edify the church, and you need to evangelize the community. And Paul is concerned about how that the things that they're doing that they need to not do and need to do better are causing these three purposes to be missing in their worship assembly. Because of, for example, everybody speaking in tongues and them not being able to understand what's being said. How will it accomplish these three purposes? By people prophesying and people not being able to understand what it is, the message that God is trying to for them to hear, people cannot do these three things. And so he keeps telling them over and over again, when you worship, these three things need to be emphasized. And we want to primarily focus on this idea of edifying, because when the church comes together, we have, of course, all three purposes. But one of the things that we need to keep doing, if we're going to help each other be the church we need to be, is to edify one another when we come together as a church in our worship assembly. So we talked a little bit about what edify means. And it comes from a word that's made up with the first part of it from the word house. And it's fitting with a construction term, to build up. And the idea is to build up the house of God. That's what it means to edify. We're not talking about the building, we're talking about the people, building up the people of God. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. We said that these conclusions about what we said about edification in general. Number one was that edifying one another in the church is commanded by God. It's as much a command as for us to be baptized. Any command that you want to find in the Bible that the church needs to be doing, you cannot ignore the fact that we are commanded as a church to edify one another. And it appears in God's word over and over again. Secondly, edifying one another is important for a healthy church family. What keeps us strong spiritually, keeps us healthy spiritually, is us edifying, building up one another and taking responsibility for that. Thirdly, we edify one another as an element to the growth of the church. If we're going to make disciples and grow as a church, it takes us edifying one another. We have to be a strong support system. Because part of what we do when we bring people in who are not Christians to be a part of our church family is they come into a strong family where they're going to get support and strength. But if they come into a weak family where we're not in the pattern of edifying one another, then they will not be edified when they come into it. We also have the need of edification for our fellowship, for our relationships with one another. And it's out of those relationships that we're able to edify. We can't depend on our worship assemblies to be the only way that we edify one another. It is through the fellowship relations we have throughout the church. It is our family-to-family connections that edify one another. And then finally, edifying one another should be a part of our worship. We should leave here feeling like we have been built up and made stronger, and that we feel like we're better prepared to go out in the world and live like we need to live. Now, I want to pause here for a moment and do a bit of a commercial. Wes talked about it at the beginning, and if you missed it, let me say it again. Take that QR code, please, and let it take you to the connection form and fill that out for us. Especially if you've started attending Graham Street since we started this COVID stuff. If you want to back up to the beginning of 2020, if you started in January of 2020 attending here, please do this for us, because there's a real good possibility we don't have information about you. We don't have the contact information that we would like to have to help you know about what we can offer you, to help you and your family, and to help you grow. And I want you to understand that we feel strongly about our mission here. We put it into three simple words: rooted, growing, and reaching. We feel like it is our responsibility to help people be rooted in Christ and in the Word. We feel like it's our responsibility to help people grow, to become like Christ. And we feel like it's all our responsibility to reach out to others, serve the needs of others, and do it in the name of the Lord. Now, you might be attending here today, and you have no intention of being a member of this church. Maybe you're a part of another church family, and you're with us today, and we are glad you're here. We would love for you to be a part of our church family. We invite you to do that. But we want you to understand that even if you choose not to be a part of the Graham Street family, we still feel like, because of our connection with you, because you've chosen to be our guest today, we feel like we have a responsibility to you to help you to be rooted, growing, and reaching. Even if you choose to be a part of another church family. It is not something that we say, okay, it's only for our select little group that we do this. we feel like that God's word makes it clear to us that as a church family, we have a responsibility to have this kind of impact on everyone, to help other people to find this rooted nature of the Word of God, that we are into the Word of God. We're sinking deep into it, and we're connected to Jesus Christ, rooted in Christ Jesus, and we're growing in Him to become like Him. If we can help you do that, we want to do that. Whether you ever choose to be a part of our family or not, if we can help you, we want to help you. We would like to be able to contact every single person that chooses whether to be our guest or to be a part of our family. We want to be able to contact you and say, how can we help you? How can we help you to be rooted, growing, and reaching in your spiritual walk? And we feel like you have something to offer this church family. That you bring with you your unique talents and your gifts. And there's a place for you here should you choose to want to be a part of our family. That you don't have to be an outsider. You don't have to be a fringe person. You can be a part of the nourishment of our family, the edifying of our family that helps us to be better. You bring with you some gift, something that God has a reason for you being here. And He wants you to be a part of this family, and we want you to be a part of the family. That's the reason why. We don't want you to be intimidated by this. We don't want you to feel like we're going to try to sell you something. We're going to try to hit you up for a contribution. What we want you to do is to be rooted and growing and reaching. And we want you to know what we're trying to do to make that happen. There are a few things that we've got going on. Should you want to know more? One is, we would like to introduce you at our family luncheon here in a few moments when we meet across the street for lunch today. If you're a guest today or if you're new here, we would like to introduce you. We don't want to embarrass you in our public worship assembly unless you want to be embarrassed that way. But we would like to, when we're in the casual confines of our eating lunch together, be able to say, hey, so-and-so is with us today. I hope you get a chance to meet them and their family. We would secondly like to be able, if you're interested, to offer an orientation class to you where we talk about what we're doing in this church and the ministries that we're involved in and the opportunities that you might have to be served or to serve in this congregation. And so if you would like to be a member of our congregation, we would like to invite you to be a part of one of our orientation classes. And thirdly, something we've just started that we're working on is we would like to improve our family-to-family connections. We feel like we need to help families get to know families. And regardless of whether you're a single person or you're a grandparent or you've got five kids or you've got no kids, whatever the situation, there's probably a family here that's kind of like your family. And it might help you feel more connected if you had a family-to-family connection. And we would like to help with that. Here's the thing, though. Some of that sounds pretty intimidating. Some of that sounds like, okay, we're trying to manipulate you and that sort of thing. Please understand, and all I can ask is you trust me in this. We're not trying to manipulate you or force you to do anything that you're uncomfortable with doing. What we're trying to do is to help you find a family that wants to be God's family, God's spiritual family, rooted in Christ in the Word, growing to become more and more like Jesus, and reaching out to help others. That's all we want to do. And we would invite you to join us in doing that. Frankly, we did a terrible job of keeping up with our guests during this COVID pandemic. When we started trying to figure out how to keep people safe and what we needed to do with all the different things we did, and remember for a while we met in homes instead of meeting in our church building, and we were just trying to figure it out like everybody else. But one of the things that we did not do well during that period of time is figure out how to keep track of people who were new. and we're trying to do better. And this may not be the best way to do it. We may still be stumbling and tripping all over the place. But we feel like we need to do a better job. We feel like God is going to hold us responsible for the people that He's put available to us to help. But if we don't have a name, we don't have a contact, how do we know how to follow up on what people need? And you can help us with that. So please, share that information with us if you're comfortable with it. All right, let's get to our lesson. You notice that the edification of the church we talked about in chapter 2 had all these various principles of edification. But I want to jump ahead here for just a little bit and talk to you about the different things that we have in our worship assembly that go with edification. And I want you to think about how that's such a strong part of our worship assembly. And we need to think about, if we're going to go back better, how do we do it better? So the first one I want to talk about is our singing. Obviously, we sing to praise God. That's lifting up Christ and, of course, the Father. It obviously has the opportunity for us to reach out, evangelize those who might come among us who are not Christians and don't believe. And maybe our singing can impress them with the idea that there really is a God. And you need to consider that. And how do we help you do it? But I think one of the strongest reasons for our singing together, when we worship together, and it's emphasized in God's Word, is that when we sing, we edify one another. We build each other up. You know, for example, you have this passage in Ephesians chapter 13, that when we gather together and we sing, we're offering a sacrifice to God, the fruit of our lips to God. But it's not just us individually that's being involved in that. We're bringing the church together in that process. It's a communal response to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, we're to address one another, speak to one another in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is a one another thing that we're involved in. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. The unity of the body is expressed as we teach and admonish one another in our singing. There's this edification process that is part of our singing. Now, I think there's a lot of things involved in that. Now, first, if you're going to teach and admonish one another, you need to use language in your songs that's going to teach something. And it needs to admonish people. It needs to encourage. It needs to help each other have a response to God. And we need to sing songs that call for that responsiveness. It needs to speak to each other in such a way that we build each other up and make each other stronger spiritually. So the lyrics of the songs are very important. What's the content of the message that we speak? The gospel is proclaimed in our singing. And the message of edification is proclaimed in our singing. So we need to be very careful about our lyrics and have songs that speak the message that it needs to speak. But I want you to understand that the music is also important. Because the music that goes with the lyrics is part of what brings about the edification. If we sing songs that nobody can sing the tune, then probably they're not going to hear the lyrics. If we try to sing songs that just don't fit with the lyrics, the music is written in such a way that the music doesn't move the lyrics in the song. It seems contradictory. You know, for example, if you sing a celebration song and it drags out like it's a funeral march or something like that, that probably causes you to not really catch what the lyrics are saying. The music needs to move it. The style of the song has something to do with whether it can edify or not. I'm going to say something that's probably going to scare some of you, and I don't want it to. I want you to take it in the spirit in which I'm saying it. But every generation has to consider what kind of singing it can do in the church that will edify the church. And we need to be willing to understand that as long as we're a multi-generational church, and I pray that we always are, because I think that's God's plan for the church. I don't think God's plan for the church is that we break into different age groups with different churches. I think God intended for the church family to grow from each generation, edifying every generation. We need our older people in our congregation to grow us that are younger. We need those, and I'm putting myself in the young category there. Did you hear that? Yeah. I'm the old group, okay? We need the older ones to be there to help the younger. The younger need to be there to help the older. We need all generations. We need the children to be a part of our church family. And so it's important that we consider, while we're a multi-generational church, that we still have singing that will edify the church. And that's a challenge in the church. It's a challenge for every generation. How do you have the songs that motivate and excite and edify the older generation, and you don't have the younger generation saying, oh man, they're singing those songs again? And you don't want to have a situation where you're singing the younger generation songs and the older people feel like they've lost their church. They don't fit in anymore. They're singing songs that I don't know. I can't sing those songs. Those aren't really good songs, and so forth. You follow what I'm saying? Now, you can take what I'm saying right now and you can say, okay, what's David trying to do? What's he trying to get us to do? This is not some conspiracy I'm trying to start. I'm just saying, church, to be the church that we need to be for the future generations, we need to think about how do we sing in such a way that it edifies everyone in the church. And everyone in the church, regardless of age or background or where you came from and your past experience in the church, you need to be concerned about edifying the church. Every generation, every background, every style, every favorite thing that you've got, we need to take into consideration. And there is no one in the church, if we're serious about edification, building people up, there is no one to be left out. That's a serious concern. Some of the things that we have worked so hard to preserve, we need to be careful that we stay with God's Word. We stay rooted in Christ and rooted in the Word, but that we're willing to make some changes, to take in those who are being left behind. And we need to realize that there are some who have chosen to not be a part of our church family because they just can't identify with what we're doing and feel that it's building them up and edifying them. And instead of saying, well, if they don't like that, well, they can go to some other church that does that for them. That's not the attitude we need to have. We need to think seriously about how do we do it better? How can we really be a multi-generational church that really shows to each other of every generation that we intend for our singing to edify every single person of our church family, no matter how old or how young? How do we do that? Now, I better watch it or I'll preach here all morning, but let me move to another one. What about the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper does all three again. Obviously, it lifts up Christ. The whole thing is done in memory of Christ, right? Obviously, it is able to preach the message of the gospel to an outsider who might be in our worship assembly. In fact, it says that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. It is a proclamation of the gospel message. So it's a good opportunity for us to preach the gospel message when we do the Lord's Supper. But the Lord's Supper is mainly intended to be for edification. In fact, the reason why Paul wrote what he did in 1 Corinthians 11 to the church about the Lord's Supper is because they were not edifying one another. They're gathering together, and some of them have food to eat, and some of them don't. Some come hungry, and they get nothing to eat. And they put a lot of emphasis on their little meal that they're having, but they're not putting the emphasis on the Lord's Supper that they need to have. And Paul scolds them for it. He said, when you come together to eat at the Lord's Supper, it's not what you're doing. You've made such a mess of it, you've ended up not really doing what you're supposed to do with the Lord's Supper. And one of the main emphases that he makes is, if you're not considering each other in the body of Christ as you take the Lord's Supper, you're not doing it the way you're supposed to do it. Now, I have concern for the way the Lord's Supper can easily become habitual and just something that we do every Sunday morning. And we may have that temptation more than some other groups that don't take it every Sunday morning. But I don't think the solution to that is for us to stop doing it. And some complain that it takes too long and it doesn't move fast enough and so forth. And there's all kinds of complaints. And obviously, we've had complaints about the little cups and the little cracker. One of the things we have to do, though, is to remember its purpose. And the question about how we do it, the method of how we do it, is if it fulfills the purpose that's intended of it. We need to take a serious look at how we can do the Lord's Supper to where it does more to edify the church, the family, the body of Christ, to build it up, to make it stronger. How do we emphasize in the Lord's Supper that it's not just a ritual that we go through every week? That it's not a sacrament that is something that we perform. That it's actually part of the body life. And that people actually feel that they have been nourished spiritually by taking time in our worship assembly to really focus in on what the bread means and what the cup means. And I'll just leave that there. I want you to think about also that we need to consider our prayers. Prayers need to be emphasized in the worship assembly. It was a big part of the early worship assembly. But we need to consider what we pray. Obviously, our prayers can be great at praising God. And I think that needs to be a part of it. The lifting up of God, that purpose. The lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, prayer can also be for the benefit of the outsiders who come into our presence and hear us pray and hear our faith in the God we believe in and so forth. But again, one of the primary purposes of prayer in the worship assembly is the edification, the building up of the body of Christ. Now, we are pretty good about praying for people who are physically sick. And I think that's an important part of it. You know, for example, our prayers that we've been praying this week for Mike Hughes, that needs to be a part of our public worship assembly. And we don't need to stop doing that. And we certainly need, when we have a request for prayer, that we pray for people. One of the areas that I would suggest that we need to do better in is praying for our spiritual health. And one of the things that hurt us in this is that we really aren't comfortable with having that kind of prayer, where a person feels like it is a safe place to be able to come and say, I am struggling. Please pray for me. And I don't know how we do that. I don't know all the particulars in that. I don't think it's the method that causes a problem. I think it's the confidence that we lack in each other. The safety that may be missing in us being able to actually believe that people can feel comfortable in being able to come before the church and confess their struggle spiritually and depend on the church to graciously and lovingly pray for them, and not just in the worship assembly, but after the assembly is over with, to continue to pray for them and to support them and give them what they need. It's not just us. I'm not getting on to Graham Street Church family. It is a problem in churches all over. We have lost that ingredient of safety and security. And part of it probably is because it is so easy to spread gossip about people now. And frankly, it is very hard for people to feel comfortable in putting out where they are in their lives and what they're struggling with and believe that it's really safe, when all you have to do while they're still confessing their sin to put it out on social media. And frankly, church, we've got a lot of work to do to try to figure out how we cover each other in prayer and still help our brothers and sisters to feel like it's a safe place to do it. But that's one of the areas we need to go back better than what we were. The scripture in our worship. I want to thank you personally for the respect that you've shown me when I preach the Word of God. So many of you talked about how you appreciate my preaching and about how it's helped your life in something and things like that. In no way do I want to indicate to you that I feel like you don't respect the Word of God. But the place for the Word of God in the worship assembly is something that we need to try to emphasize better. Just the Word itself. Not the presenter. Not the method of presentation. Not the technology. But just the high regard and reverence for God's Word. That at the reading of the Word of God, something is happening. That the Spirit of God is in movement among us. That hearts are being touched. And it is a reverent moment when God's Word is being spoken over us. And I think that's an area we could improve in as a church family. And finally, let me give this last one. Giving is worship. And it's one of the things I feel like that during COVID, it's been hard for us to revere and to hold up as a holy moment of giving when you just drop your check in as you go out in the basket back there. So a lot of trying to help this to be really worship depends on you. The attitude with which you worship. The attitude of giving back. A challenge I would give you is to go back into the Old Testament and see how much giving is a part of the worship of the Old Testament. I would dare say, and you can challenge this, you study it and you come back and you can argue it with me, I would dare challenge you to find anything in Old Testament worship that was not giving. Every aspect of Old Testament worship, in my opinion, was giving. Whether it was giving sacrifices, whether it was giving the first fruits, whether it was giving, whatever it was, giving is worship in the Old Testament. And I challenge you with this thought. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brothers, that you give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, for this is your spiritual worship. Giving is in every aspect of our worship. It's something I think we need to do better in going back. finding ways to where we emphasize the worship nature of giving. That when I give of my gift in my time, in my talent, in my money, I am doing a holy act of worship. When I put my money in the collection plate, it is a holy act of worship. And it started a long time before I got to this building. I think we need to work at building each other up and understanding the strength, the power, the spiritual nature of our giving and help each other not just to give more. We emphasize that. We emphasize give to the Shona Bibles, give to the building fund, give to the regular contribution. Not the amounts, but the spiritual nature of giving. That brothers and sisters, you need to give better because you need to grow spiritually. And that with giving, one of the benefits that comes from it, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that it develops in the whole church a rejoicing of thanksgiving to God, which leads to celebration in more worship. This morning, I'll close my sermon in this way. I am serious about going back better. And I am willing to do what I can to examine everything that we do to see if we can't make it better. I don't mean that to be a challenge. I don't mean that to scare anyone. I don't want you to be afraid of something strange I'm going to bring in. But I've made that commitment. I've made that commitment with my elders. I think we all need to join in that commitment that if we can be better, let's be better. I am not content with just being normal. My God is not a normal God. My Lord Jesus Christ did not do the normal thing in dying on the cross for my sins. There's nothing normal about being raised from the dead. And church, I don't think we need to be satisfied with being normal. We're better than that. And if the world's going to know that we've got something that they need something better than normal. They can find normal everywhere. What they need to find is something that's so amazing, something beyond what this world has to offer, that they can't resist. And the best place they can find it is in the local church. Right here among them, living right here, is to see in us that we really believe we're a part of something special. Something great. And I challenge all of us to do what we can do to go back better than normal. Let's stand and sing. All right, church, this is really exciting. Cody and Dondra Bedwell's daughter, Carson, is going to be baptized this morning. And that's also Todd and Robin Fanny's granddaughter, so it's a special family time for them. In just a moment, we'll take her confession in the baptistry and baptize them. So I just want to pause for a moment and have a prayer, and then maybe you might want to lead us in a song while we're getting ready. So let's pray. Father, what we're about to do, I know what you're excited about as we are. We pray for Carson as she puts her Lord on in baptism. We're excited that it's just telling the story of the gospel again, and we're excited about that, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it gives us a chance to celebrate that again with her as she retells that story in her baptism. And we pray that it might influence others who need to take the same step to celebrate that great gospel story in their own personal commitment to die, be buried, bury that old sinful life behind them, and to be raised to walk in newness of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Carson has come today to profess to everyone that she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to earth to wash us away of our sins. Carson, do you believe that the Lord sent his Son, Jesus Christ, he died on a cross and was risen, all that to forgive us of our sins? All right, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We're going to have one of our shepherds come and probably have a couple of announcements and close us with prayer. Let's sing one final song together. It's for the older generation of the congregation. When David was talking about that, I thought, yeah, I sang. We started a whole lot of songs for the younger crew, but this is one for your older folks. We're only going to sing the first verse, though. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder
Well, thank everybody for being here today. Visitors, you are welcome. And remember the lunch across the street. We'd love to have a chance to get to meet y'all and converse with y'all a little bit more. Isn't it great to have a baptism today? And congratulations to the Bedwell and Fanning family. So appreciate that. Do want to remember we have a large number of people that are sick. Some of those we mentioned that, you know, Mike Hughes in hospital, he's been moved to Dallas, and Joel and Ann, we continue to pray for him and want him to get better. We also have, I believe, Ricky Cottle and Tony Torito are still recovering from stuff, and so want to remember those. Lots of people with cancer, too many to name, but just remember that we have lots of people having cancer treatments and that sort of thing. Also, we have several people recovering from surgery, so we want to continue to remember them in prayer. And one we do want to remember, though, is you happened to watch Channel 5 News last night. They showed Ben Lewis being dismissed from the hospital after his COVID recovery. And so, you know, that's great news for him, 40-plus days in the hospital, but actually recovered. So we want to remember that. Also, one note, we have lots of things going on. David alluded to some of the building things we're doing. We have met our phase two goal of $350,000 to do some of the repair work. We spent quite a bit of that. We have some more stuff that we're working on. We also have lots of things that we have added to our list, and so we will be setting a target for a phase three to look, and we have some other generous donations coming in, and we'll be talking to y'all more about some of those details of the upcoming work and the stuff we've already completed. So we thank you for that. I want to close. There's lots of verses in the Old Testament, New Testament, how the Lord is always with us. You know, the Spirit indwells within us, but he also talks about how he goes with us. We are presented with lots of opportunities, and there's happy things, but we're also presented with challenges and hurts. You know, and we need to be looking around and celebrating the good things, and we need to be surrounding people with the things that aren't so good, and we need to be helping them and supporting people that we know. And that's within our own families, it's within our church family, and it's within our family and extended friends and our community. So we want to do that. I want to close, and I'll give sort of a little bit of a thing. If you haven't attended our Wednesday night service, we've been studying the various names of God, and I'm gonna read from Numbers, the sixth chapter here in a minute, and in this particular set of verses, it refers to Lord as all capitals, and I believe David will correct me here, but I believe that refers to the word Yahweh. Is that correct? So, if you want to learn more about some of the various names of God, do that. But let me close with this blessing, and then we'll have a prayer. And starting in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," and I think this is applicable to us today too, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." So as we go through this week, let's remember that, and let's stand for a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Dear Heavenly Father, we look for you for wisdom. We look for you to heal those in our numbers. Specifically, Lord, we pray that you continue to bless Mike Hughes as he's recovering from his illness, and help the doctors that guide their hands as they treat him. Also bless Ricky Cottle and Tony Torito and others that we mentioned that have other illnesses or are being treated for cancer. Dear Father, bless the doctors and all the medical teams that take care of them. Dear Father, we thank you for the different various forms of security that we have, whether that be our police departments or our soldiers or our medical professionals and EMS. We thank you for all that they do to serve us and to serve the people that they're called to help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our ministers. Thank you for our teachers. Thank you for all those people that serve here in this church. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to look out and see the opportunities you give us to serve. Help us to find the people that need that service, and help us to find the ways to help them. Dear Father, bless everyone that's here. Bless the Carson as she becomes baptized today, and help her to continue to learn and grow and learn to serve you and gain maturity in you. Dear Father, thank you for all you do. Help us as we go across the street for a meal. Help us as we go through the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.